You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. Thank you for tuning in for this Unity Partner Program. Unity Online Radio partners with spiritual leaders from organizations whose mission and messages complement Unity's. We are pleased to bring you this program on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to Everyday Attraction with Feel Good Sisters Ray and Heather. Get ready to expand your life, your knowing, and your alignment with your source. When we feel good, we give the universe an opportunity with our point of attraction to receive even more good. We celebrate who you really are and who you're becoming.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of your high vibrating show. This is Everyday Attraction with your feel good sister, Ray.
And this is Heather.
And we welcome you to this moment in time where we come together to the leading edge and we talk about things that are so ordinarily, extraordinarily specific to how we live a more joyous, a more fulfilling, a more fun, and as we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks and months, how we love the contrast, how we love, we're going to kiss the contrast tonight because it is truly that which you are wanting that is bringing all that you're asking for in. And we're going to love that part of the experience this very day. We're going to envelop the contrast as part of the joyous journey. So we welcome you, Heather and I so love to come together with this community. Now, I got to tell you, our community is bursting out. We're so excited. So thank you all for sharing the show. We've done a little bit on social media, kind of getting out there a little bit. But, you know, we love the Abraham community because that's where we hang out. That's where we live. You know, the Abrahamers are our people, my people. And, you know, we just love that there is this community that we can come together and go deep on this stuff and have this conversation and have this dialogue. And hopefully at the end of each hour, you know, we walk away with some deeper, more integrated understanding of the Abraham teachings of who we are, of this real powerful philosophy. And you know, I loved our last show where we're talking about, you know, just having this deep relationship with source and letting intuition and inspiration and, you know, even that sort of that idea that pops into your mind out of nowhere is really source speaking to you when you're in that good feeling place. And we want to continue how we have that dialogue with source. And, you know, Heather, I think the challenge is to, you know, how to continue that dialogue in the midst of contrast. And I think, I don't know about you, but I feel like the biggest aha that I've gotten in the last couple of years with Abraham is that it is about being in the contrast. It's being in the whirlwind. It's being in the, you know, proverbial tornado and still feeling, you know, tethered to source, still being able to have a dialogue, a conversation, a humor through line. Mm-hmm. Even in the, you know, and I know that you go through a lot of challenges and contrast, and because we've got family and we've got, you know, work and we've got relationships and we're all in it. And so how are you, like, anything coming up for you this week or the last couple of weeks that is helping you keep tethered to source? Heather tethered.
I love that. Thank you so much. Actually, I was thinking when you were talking, I was thinking about a client that I was just talking to the other day that had some really crazy stuff happen at work, and she was in charge. So it was just basically this major emergency at work. And she said all of a sudden she kind of went into this slow motion. This is my observation. I'm sure she'll listen to this podcast and say, I didn't say it exactly that way, which probably she didn't. But what I got was she went into this kind of like slow down and all is well connected to source aspect. So it's interesting thinking about you talking about how sometimes you're connected to source and then poop hits the fan and then all of a sudden you're not. In this case, it was like by the poop hitting the fan, she became more connected to source. Like it was what the tether was, the reminder. So it can go either way, right? Where we're either connected and then not when something bad happens or whatever we perceive as bad.
Yeah, that's
it invites us into it more. It invites us more connection, you know?
That's an excellent point, actually. And I really love honing in on that because it is true that oftentimes when we do get into quote unquote trouble, I'm putting quotes in the air, that we do tend to turn inward. You know, it's like the last straw. It's like, okay, this has gotten so bad, I'm finally going to turn inward. And have some respite here. And you're right. It can be either. Sometimes the chaos and the difficulty can send us into our heads and send us into problem solving mode and send us into controlling mode. And we kind of, you know, we get back to source after it's all over, or it could be the very thing that sends us to our knees literally and gets us back into that connection. I like the idea of the contrast being there as a way to more deeply integrate, you know, in that conversation. Because what the Abrahams are saying so clearly, and some of the new conversation that's happening, some of the new information that's coming through. And I just got to say this again, you know, people who say they know Abraham because they studied it once 2 years ago, they don't know jack about what's going on with these energies.
Was that a judgment that you just made?
It was totally a judgment, and I own it. Because these energies are so evolving. They are so alive. They are, I mean, they're completely different than they were. I mean, in the sense of, I mean, there's through lines, but we as a consciousness, as a group conscious, are pushing these teachings into these unknown places, these brand new, fresh, making it happen places. And it's so exciting and exhilarating. So if you think you know Abraham and you haven't listened to a track in 10 years, get on board. You just got to go check out what's happening. But some of the information that's coming through, I feel we're asking for. And I feel fundamentally that people who are sitting in the hot seats these days is like a different vibration. It's a different vibration. The questions are complex. They're kind of like scratch your head. Whoa, wow, where are we going with this? And yet, you know, it takes us to a new place. And specifically, I want to talk on today's show about this idea of having it all, of having it all. You know, Abrahams talk a lot about you can, you know, if you can see it and be it, you know, if this time-space reality has provoked you to desire something, there is the wherewithal, the ability for you to have it. And I think a lot of us struggle with that. Do you?
Well, having it all, that's a broad statement. Tell me more. What do you mean by having it all?
So from this context, having it all means being totally at peace, Zen Buddha peace, with your life. Unconditionally loving who you are, where you are, and not being in angst. Really being in alignment with your life. And having within you a passion and a desire for more. So you're able to live with what, you know, Unity Teachings often calls divine discontent. Mm-hmm. It is the discontent that is divinely inspired to the next you, the more. I want to really focus on that word more. Because oftentimes when we get into the Zen peace mode, we don't want more. And a lot of people are fearful of more. And there are even whole religions about let go of more, just be here now, right? That more will add angst. But really having it all is truly being at peace and loving your life and wanting what you want and having something that's not complete yet. That's okay. And to me, that's having it all. It's knowing that you can have all those desires and you can be having, you know, a great ride today while it's not here yet.
Right. Can I tell you a story?
Please.
I had, and I'm, I love my brother. I have a brother who has gone through, he's sober and he's gone through rehab, and he's a big AA fan. And I work at a rehab place that's non-12 step in Malibu, Pasadena, Malibu, which is kind of interesting. So I have my Abraham philosophy, and he has his AA philosophy, which is so funny because here's my little brother, 5 years younger, and he comes to me spiritually reformed 2 years ago, and he's like, oh my gosh, I've seen the light. I had the spiritual awakening, and he starts telling me all this stuff about spirit because he doesn't know anything that I know because we have never had a conversation about spirit. So I listen and listen and listen. So he tells me the other day, I have all that I need. And I'll never have all that I want, but I have all that I need. I have more than I can ever need, and I'll never have what I want, I guess is what he said. And then he was going on and on and on about God's will, God's will, God's will, and what God has in store for him, and he doesn't know what that is. And I was like, you know, this is exactly why I've been judgment, judgment, judgment. I've been opposed to a lot of organized religions because it's almost as if there's this God up there that is telling you what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to be. And it's like this predestined life that has been laid out for us, and we're not supposed to have anything to do with it. We're just supposed to be at the mercy of this plan that we don't know what it is. And I was like, wow, isn't that interesting, right? So if we are that, it's not for me, but I get that it helps and it works for a lot of people. So wherever you are, it's all perfect. But what I love about the Abraham work is that source is me and I am source, and I am choosing what I'm willing to allow. And so being the hypnotherapist that I am and knowing the power of our mind, the only limits that we have are our own in our own head, you know, our thoughts are what create our emotions, and our emotions are what creates the emission of our frequency, and the frequency creates the return frequency, like the boomerang. The frequency we emit is the frequency we get back. And so then we get to manifest what we want, either what we want or what we don't want, based on our ability to hold back. So I think that whole point of, are we able to have what we want? And also that whole Zen thing, because I hear you say Zen lifestyle. I'm like, who would want that? That's boring. I like to get like totally excited about stuff and totally pissed off about stuff. You know, like I'm a human. I like to feel good. I like to feel not good. And I get to go, wow, I get what I like. You know, I love knowing what I don't want, so I know what I do want. And I like being all in, you know, and present and just like feel it. So
yeah, yes,
that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
That's your story. You're sticking to it. But I do think that's why, you know, we love these teachers so much, because they do put us back in the driver's seat, like yes. it or not. I mean, they, you know, they joke about it. Like the first day you find out that you know, you participate in creating your own reality is like, wow. Oh. And the next day is, oh no, really? Because it's so much easier to put that on something else. It's so much easier to say, well, this happened because, you know, whatever, the stars aligned and the gods made the decision. But it's so, but the, you know, the downside of that is, you know, a lack of freedom, which I think cuts off most of our very independent oxygen. So, you know, I think we're both playing in this camp of, and again, it's all good wherever you are. But for us, this idea that we are definitely participating in how much comes through the well and how much comes through the flow is what makes it exciting. And the Abrahams asked this question during a recent workshop where they said, you know, can you let yourself have it all? Right. Can you let yourself have it all? And I thought that was such a striking conversation. Because why wouldn't we? But there are a lot of reasons why we wouldn't let ourselves have it all.
Well, most, you know? I mean, honestly, who does? Nobody lets ourselves have it all because we're human.
Yeah.
So the answer is no, but it's to what level of what degree? You
yes.
know,
how
92%,
good?
You know, 96%. But 100%, I would say no, because it's just not possible.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of being on the contrasty planet. But I do think it's an interesting game to play with oneself to remember that it is only our own consciousness that is opening or closing the valve and making decisions on what we can and cannot have. But I do love that there is this ability to be both at peace and loving and truly authentically loving life and still have some divine discontent, to still have those, you know, burning embers of this is not complete or this is still missing. And that is a good thing. It's not something that means that you're doing anything wrong. It's just we're constantly painting a new portrait, a new picture. And how, you know, the question I have, and we're going to take a quick break when we come back, what we want to discuss, and we're going to play a little bit of Abraham, is, you know, how can you hold both? And maybe you can't hold both at the same moment, but how do you share the stage with being truly aligned and unconditionally loving of your life and be turned on and passionate about some things that have not happened yet? Stay tuned. We'll be back after the break. You're listening to Everyday Attraction with your Feel Good Sisters, Ray and Heather.
You know the saying, a good deed is its own reward? Well, moving toward a plant-based diet and vegan lifestyle is one kind and compassionate act that isn't just its own reward. It will also reward you with vibrant health, boundless energy, an easy way to keep your weight where you want it, and according to yogis and Unity's co-founder Charles Fillmore, even give a boost to your spiritual life. On Main Street Vegan, the radio program named for the popular book, Victoria Moran will make your move in a vegan direction easy, fun, affordable, and delicious. With enticing topics and entertaining guests every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Time, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Have you ever considered that everything you think, say, and do is a prayer to the universe? What would your life be like if you activated the power of yes? Join Reverend Beverly Molander and her exciting guests on Affirmative Prayer, Activating the Power of Yes, to find out how they activated the power of yes in their lives, their communities, or even the world. If they can do it, you can too. Listen to Beverly Molander and her guests live every Monday at noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Affirmative Prayer, Activating the Power of Yes. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
We now return to Everyday Attraction with Feel Good Sisters Ray and Heather. It's time to feel good and allow all that has already been given.
Welcome back from the break. We're so happy you're here. We are talking about, can you let yourself have it all? And that really is the question. But before we continue that discussion, I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, doTERRA, which is pure organic essential oils. As many of you have been hearing that we've been talking about every week, that we have these wonderful, non-resistant vibrational partners on this planet that can help us get in the alignment. And more scientific research is finding that the powerful effects of aroma, your ability to breathe in these wonderful, pure substances, have direct effect on your emotional centers. So by breathing in these vibrational allies, we can shift into a feel-good flow, which, you know, we're all about the feel-good flow. So we want to call your attention to our sponsor, doTERRA Pure Organic Oils. doTERRA actually means gift of the earth. And if you'd like to find out more how you can get your hands on these little babies, whether you diffuse them or breathe them in or put them on your skin, and actually doTERRA oils are so pure, you can even ingest them. And I highly recommend some of the wonderful blends that they have. To find out more, go to align.eoinfo.com. Again, that's align.eoinfo.com. info.com and read all about it and click on the store link and get yourself some of these gorgeous little oils. You can also check out our website, which is everydayattraction.com, and our blog. And also you'll see on our website that you can book a session with our very own Heather, your alignment coach and channel. She's offering, as we've mentioned, a special for the summer for those of you who are leading in your life, leading in business, really leading a vision, an enterprise. If you're an entrepreneur that wants to bring these principles into your work life, your business, Heather is really honed in on visionaries and leaders who are serious about these principles. So book a session and find out how we can, you know, really help you get to see the truth of who you are. So don't go it alone. We're here to support you. Again, book a session on everydayattraction.com. So we were talking before the break, this idea of holding these kind of two vibrational spaces. One is what we've talked about endlessly, which is this unconditional love, this unconditional loving of where we are in our lives, of, you know, who we are, of not needing any conditions to change in order to feel good. Okay, mm-hmm. So we're holding that, right? We're holding that.
Right.
That's a little zenny. All is well. You don't have to be any different. I'm happy, happy no matter what. Alignment trumps everything. And there's still some stuff we want. There's still stuff undone. There's that house. There's that partner. There's that experience. There's that freedom. There's that thing that's still happening. And there has to be some divine discontent in order for that to have some grit, right? Because you don't desire something that you have, right? So how is it that we can hold both of those spaces? That is my question.
Mm-hmm. And are you going to give us the answer?
No, because I don't. Well,
we all have bated breath. We're waiting.
Oh, yeah. That for...
Well, and I think one of the pieces that I think it's confusing about this is that we're so used to that. Once I have this, then I'll feel that. And, you know, I talk about that exercise that you write a list of all the things you don't want. And then from that list, you then write a list of all the things you do want. And I do it on two separate pieces of paper so that each don't want has a do want. And then you write an emotion that you're going to feel when you have that thing that you do want. And then you find a way to feel that way now. And so I think part of what you're saying is, how do you find a way to feel good, or how do you find a way to just be zen about everything? It's not that piece of denial, like, oh, this thing isn't happening. It's more like, once I find a way to feel good, even when this thing is happening, then that thing's not going to happen anymore, because you found a way to feel good first instead of wait for the condition to change. So it's all about condition and unconditional emotions.
So we do know that the process is feel it first. We know that. Mm-hmm. And we have to discipline our minds. I'm really into the disciplined mind. We have to discipline our
mind.
That's
not fun. But I don't like that word.
I like that word because at the core of it, it's a discipleship. I mean, the core of that word means I'm a disciple to my own source, my own clear understanding. I'm committed to this. It doesn't mean you have
okay,
to.
Okay, you no. use your word and I'll use my word. I like exercise and be playful in practicing our emotions. Okay.
So I was reading, I know, exactly. It's all about the how it fits in our own understanding of what we know, right, and where we've come from. And yep. I think I used to hate the word discipline because it meant exercise or something. It meant like some horrible, you know, no pain, no gain until you have pain kind of stuff. And I'm not talking, but there was a point in my journey where discipline flipped and became sort of this loving discipleship, this commitment to myself that says, I am going to choose a disciplined mind that when I see I could think this or I could think that, I'm going to be sensitive enough to think, you know, I'm going to make the right choice for myself. And I think that's the interesting part that we, can you go to daddy, honey? I think that's the interesting part, that when we talk about the discipline mind, and I've been reading recently one of my favorite metaphysical authors who's a Unity teacher way back, well, associated with the Unity movement, and that is Neville Goddard. And I've been reading some of his books recently, and you know, he really talks about the disciplined mind in that we have to feel it first. We have to be disciplined enough to have that consciousness of being able to feel something first in order for it then to manifest. So we know that that's the approach, right? But I think there's a dance going on here where, like, I can love the house I'm living in, but I can still dream and desire of a bigger, broader place. Like, I don't have to hate where I am in order to love where I'm going. And I think that's what I'm trying to get at. Does that make sense?
Yes. I don't have to hate where I am to love where I'm going.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of an aha moment, because I think most of us think that if we really, really hate where we are and we just beat the drum of really hating where we are, then we will somehow get where we're going faster.
Mm-hmm. But actually it's the opposite, because when we hate where we are, we create resistance and then we create stagnation.
And that's why people listen to the show. So now we know.
Yeah, because we want to be in the feel good flow. And it's kind of like this. This is a simple example, but my daughter, who is really scared to kind of ask for what she wants, my teen, she'll go to a restaurant and she's like, I don't really like what this meal. And I said, oh, well, just ask for something else, you know, or ask for it the way you want it. And she's like, oh, I can't do that. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to upset anybody. And I'm like, you know, I used to think the same way. I used to think in order to return something, you know, at the restaurant, that I would have to offend someone or upset someone. And then there's that old saying, like, well, if you tell somebody you don't like it, they're going to spit in your food or something like that. So we actually called the waiter over and I said, hey, can you help us with something? And I said, you know, here's what's happening. My daughter is feeling this way. And I was telling her that she should ask what she wants, but she feels really bad asking for it. And I was just wondering, as a waiter, how do you feel when people ask for their food a different way? Is that, you know, does that bother you or whatever? And so we had this whole dialogue, right? So I think we have these belief systems that if we, you know, like if we, what did you say? If we like what we have, we're not going to want more. If we hate what we have, it's going to help us get to where we want faster. But it's really neither one. Right. I mean, in the sense that you can dislike what you have and be okay with it and still get what you want, without having to upset the apple cart or upset anybody. You can just say, I like this way. I'm not going to eat it this way. It's not a bad or wrong. I don't hate it. It's just preferable to be over here. Like, I don't know. There's a way to do, to please it all, please everyone.
I think so too. And I think Abraham has said it a lot, where they have that sort of mantra where they say, you know, happy where you are and ready for more. And it's that ready for more part that I think sometimes we shy away from, because we don't want to upset other people if we ask for too much. And we kind of get those, and we want to shake off though, like a dog with water. We want to shake off those sort of limited belief systems that don't serve us or anybody else. This idea that there's a limited pie, you know, that's one thing that Abraham has been talking a lot about. And boy, you know, don't share this with your neighbor, because a lot of people feel that there's a limited amount of good or pie to go around, and if you take a lot, then you're taking it from someone else. And I think that is, you know, a false premise that a big part of our population consciousness lives from. And so we, from the sort of Abrahamic side, from this sort of realization that the pie is growing with the size of our desire, and that you can't ask for too much, it is an awakening point where it doesn't mean that we're greedy. It doesn't mean that that we aren't conscious of what other people know and what other people have. But we also understand the underlying principle that there is, that scarcity is a myth at the very core of the energetic universe, and that we can ask for it, and we can allow ourselves to have it, but we don't have to be miserable on the way to it. There is this place of desire. I think it's kind of cleaning up desire a little bit, where we're saying that desire is actually from God, from source, from our broader self.
Yeah.
It is God energy. It's not the human part of us that, oh, just wants a little bit more. I just want more. No, it's that leading edge, earth creating force that is desire that says, I want more. Yes, this is good, and I want more. And that is a spiritual stance. That's my soapbox.
Okay. And that's similar to inspired action. So inspired action is source placing it there. And you're saying the desire is also source placing it there, saying you can have this. You can ask for more. You can have more. You know, don't limit yourself based on don't talk yourself out of all that is, all the energy that creates worlds that you are.
And it doesn't put down the life you're living. I love my life and I want more. You know, I love the house that I live in, but I want more. I want more closet space. You know what I mean? I think that doesn't mean I'm, you know, beating my chest and in, you know, kind of frustration. I think that is this leading edge stance of authentically being at peace with what we have, and at the same time moving into this space of desire, which says I lack something.
Right. And that's, I just got an aha when you were talking. When you said, I love this house I live in and I want more, I think it's something like this. You don't have to love the house you're living in, because if you think by loving it that there isn't anything any better, you can just appreciate the house that you're living in and say, I'm so appreciative of this house. And I enjoy the fact that it provides shelter and it provides clean water and this and that. And I want more. You don't have to love it, right? Because love and appreciation are the same vibration.
Yeah. Appreciation, truly, truly.
Yeah, because I think what trips us up there is when we say, well, if I love something, that means that it's the ultimate. Like, how could I love something more than I already love it, you know? So we get stuck there. But if we say, well, I appreciate, like, I don't love the house I live in, but I'm so thankful I have 3 bedrooms. I appreciate the location. I appreciate, you know, so many qualities of it. And I think if we got really into appreciating, because we talk about that sometimes, but it can be more, the energy of appreciation is so powerful. So if you could just find a way to appreciate what you have, and know that wanting more and everything is just dandy, it'll help you then from trying to love what you have. Does that make a difference?
It does. I mean, in my circumstance, I really do love the house I'm in. I mean, I really don't change that. I mean, I love it. And that's why I think it's a dance, because I can be in this moment of really, really loving this house. And then I'll get into, and again, we want to talk about this metaphor, and then I'll get into my car and I'll drive down the street and I'm like, forget my house. That's the house that I really want. You know what I mean? So it doesn't deny where I'm at, but it also allows me on a spiritual side to be hungry for more. And I think, and a lot of our belief systems have sort of, you know, had the proverbial finger of like, now don't you be too hungry for more. Because that means you don't appreciate what you have. And that's like an old religious verbiage kind of stuff. That's an old false premise. And Abraham comes in and whoosh, you know, comes through and says, you know, can you let yourself have it all? Like, you're the gatekeeper of whether or not that next thing is coming and how fast it comes. and so it is that sort of dance of understanding that my feeling, my feel good flow is important, and it's okay to kick the sand a little bit and want more. That too is part of the spiritual life, and it's not outside of it. So, okay, we got to take a quick break. I love this conversation. Well, hopefully we'll get to a little Abraham as well. You're listening to Everyday Attraction here on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. You and your Feel Good Sisters will be back after the break. Stay tuned.
Ever notice that there might be something not quite right, but you just can't put your finger on it? We may describe it as an inner stirring, a restlessness, a yearning to find our way home to our heart and higher purpose. Some of us may feel like we are living on borrowed time, that despite our accomplishments, what was once so important to us now just feels empty and meaningless. If you find your heart longing, wanting, looking for a path home to authenticity and purpose, join us for transformation, inspiration, hope, and possibility. Move toward your higher calling. Listen to The Call of Spirit with Evelyn Forman and tune in to Possibility every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Central Time here on Unity Online Radio.
Just like life, grief is a journey, not a destination. Whether it is loss of life, relationship, security, or simply the process of change, have you given yourself permission to begin your journey of grief? Have you yielded to the gift of grace? Join Reverend Chaz Wesley every Thursday at 5 p.m. Central on a virtual navigation from grief to grace, and explore new horizons of empowerment, significance, and support. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
I'll light a candle in your name.
Don't think about it. Let it unfold.
You've been listening to Everyday Attraction with Feel Good Sisters Ray and Heather. To learn more about Ray and Heather, check out their website at everydayattraction.com or email us at everydayattraction@unityonlineradio.org. Your comments and participation are sincerely welcomed.
Welcome back from the break. You're listening to your Feel Good Sisters, Ray and Heather. And we are having, you know, kind of this fun discussion about having it all, letting ourselves have it all, and really being able to understand this vibrational dance that we're doing, where we are enjoying who we are and hungering for more. And that hunger and that divine discontent is very much part of the spiritual journey. And that's part of this philosophy that we're talking about today on today's show, and really some of what the Abrahams are bringing through. I wanted to play just a little bit of what prompted all of this discussion, which was a recent Abraham workshop in Asheville, North Carolina, where a gentleman sat in the hot seat and just said, you know, how do I ask for more without feeling like I don't already have enough? So we'll play a little bit of this and we'll come back to the discussion. Here we go.
And it's always so fun to raise your hand, pick me, don't pick me, and get into this place of massaging a new idea. I want to clarify this seeming disparity between unconditional love and developing a leading edge preference, I'll call it, in the sense that my life is Abrahamic, I'll call it, in that I'm fully aware of when I'm aligned, less aligned, in more and more subtle ways, and my life is so rich and fun and love filled with wonderful, wonderful experiences. And there's a funny dichotomy that I love all the great stuff I have and wanting, and we've been talking about this idea amongst my friends and I about saying something more seems a little off, because our life in North Carolina is fantastic and marvelous and beautiful.
Consider this. Let's just take the status quo. Let's just take your life in its tangible form as it has evolved. What if you developed superpowers to appreciate it?
Yeah.
What if you could smell the richness of it more fully than ever before and see the beauty of it more than ever before and taste it? What if your ability to perceive it is the leading edge? No more dichotomy, is there?
Yes, and so what's in my vibrational craw is that here in North Carolina, unanticipated creation is the humid climate. And it's a physical reality that I have reached for some appreciation of at times. And that's what's in my vibrational craw that I'd like to create differently. Well, I suppose I could cause some sort of climate change. I suppose I really am that powerful, but I'm not.
Yeah, but then
that
it wouldn't be green and it would be a different place.
Yes.
Yeah. So in the awareness of what it is and in the appreciation of the beauty of it, isn't some of that which you are now deeming not so much appreciated, isn't it inherently necessary for something else about it that you are frequently appreciating?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the piece I appreciate. I understand the physical reality that I'm living is part of the whole package.
It's a path of least resistance to move to the desert. It's a path of least resistance to spend some time under the air conditioner. It's a path of least resistance to experience the diversity of the planet. In other words, what feels like the path of least resistance to you, because there's no right or wrong in this.
Mm-hmm. I know in my heart that I'm already live in Southern California. I have this sense, and it's a comical thing for me to figure things out.
So what's stuck in your craw here?
It's the feeling like by my attention to the
How
community.
How dare I be such a nitpicker as
yes.
to want this thing that should be in the scope of everything insignificant when I have so much here.
Exactly.
Because it's the leading edge.
Yeah.
Because you can't stand still.
That's it. Creator's got to create, and that's a funny
and
thing.
And holding to the perfection of what is
yes.
will bring you eventually to a place of resentment because the leading edge, like the path of least resistance, is alignment.
It's alignment. Okay.
You get to have it all. You get yeah. to have everything that you want.
Yes.
And never root for standing still.
So that's the...
More is the mantra.
More and, yes, an expansion and excitement.
Other. Different.
Yeah.
More exposure to more life. More opportunity to refine and define.
So is the path of least resistance to become enamored of a humid climate, even in air conditioning? I have bought expansive, like top-of-the-line air conditioners in my office building and where we live, but that's not, doesn't feel right. That feels off to me.
No, don't focus wheel yourself into liking to eat something that you hate.
Exactly, right. That's when I feel like, oh, I feel kind of embarrassed. Well, I'm embarrassed.
Allow yourself to experience the diversity and come to your personal preferences and give yourself permission to have the perfection of what you have preferred.
So as I appreciate where I am and find alignment and then, and find alignment and then, and find alignment and then, I imagine, and this is where I talked to Nashville before about that the leading edge gets manifest and created as I perceive and take action and experience it, which is a thrilling, wonderful ride. I really understand the intertwining of, you know, being in an emotional, vibrational place and finding your thoughts and emotions and taking the action and experiencing the because I have such a great physical experience in life. And I don't know where the ideas are. It's kind of funny being someone who's bright and knows how to figure things out to not be figuring things out about this transition to being in this other climate.
Yeah, because you've misunderstood what the receptive mode is.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought.
Because most humans think that you are to be in the creative mode, that you are to be the creator of your reality. Where have you heard that? And so how about taking the leading edge of that thought and saying, I am the receiver of the impulse of the creation of my reality.
That's how all of this came about.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Well, let us put it this way. This is the real question that we are feeling from you. This is what it feels to us that you are asking. Is my appreciation for the richness of what is preventing me from moving to what I really want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we were only talking about conditions, we can see why that squirrely thought would come to you.
Yeah.
But since what we're talking about, the path being, is the path to alignment, then we want to ask you, is appreciation ever the wrong path?
No, it's never occupied. Absolutely. Yeah. I get that.
So nothing is preventing you from moving forward to what you want. It may be that you are milking where you are for more vortexual content before you allow yourself to make the move, or it may be you are micromanaging your life more than you really mean to.
Well, I think that that is very true. That is very true. I'm trying to get more.
Wow, that was a lot of conversation.
Yes.
There. And he's an interesting guy in the seat, because I think what he's trying to communicate is really rich, but it doesn't come off as terribly clear. But that last part I thought was so interesting about being in the receiving mode versus the creative mode. Wasn't that interesting?
I think I was actually thinking about the first part. I sometimes I think we play such a large part.
Yeah, there's a lot.
That I'm like staying on like one piece, and then there's like, oh, there's another piece. I was thinking about that, you know, don't talk yourself into liking something you don't like to eat, you know, try to figure out a way to like something you don't like. It's like, appreciate something you can easily appreciate about it. Don't like, oh, this tastes wonderful, that it tastes like crap, you know?
Yes. I mean, that's the path of least resistance. We're going to call it PLR. The path of least resistance is so interesting, because there was a little period there where people were focus wheeling themselves into trying to feel better about something they didn't want. And that's never what Abraham has ever said. But I have heard that so many times, where people saying, you know, I know Abraham would want me to just like this. It's like, no, they would never want you to talk yourself into something you don't want, or out of something that you do want.
That's right. I mean, it's almost like people that have sexual trauma as a kid, or, you know, was raped or abused, to say, I'm going to talk myself into enjoying that. You know, it's like, no.
Never, ever,
that's
ever.
Not what we're asking you to do.
No.
At all.
ever. And I think that is, you know, a misunderstanding of what they're trying to say. And it's so important for us to be clear about that, because it's never about talking yourself out of what you're wanting. But it is, again, we're talking about energy and vibration. We're not talking about what's already here in the physical. We're talking about dealing with the non-physical energies. And I think they went back to what you had said earlier in the show, that you can't go wrong with the energy of appreciation. You just can't go wrong with that, you know.
Well, and you don't have to push yourself as hard. It's easier to appreciate something than to love it. That's what I was trying to say. If, you know, to you earlier, you're like, but I do love my house. And it's like, well, if you love your house, great. But if you don't love your house, don't try to talk yourself into loving your house. Just find something to appreciate about it.
Yes, exactly. And I do think that that's an important distinction, that you can't go wrong with the energy of appreciation. But if it's not authentic appreciation, it's never going to fly, because the universe, you know, doesn't speak that non inauthentic language. But I think it's really interesting with this whole understanding of more. And you heard him talk about that, you know, like, I don't like the humidity in North Carolina, but, you know, is it wrong of me to be nitpicking about where I live? And I think what's so fun about these spiritual teachers is they're like, nitpick away, but don't have resistance or ideas that you can't have what it is that you're wanting. Of course, you can discern what you'd like more of. That is part of the spiritual pie, that endless pie. Dig in. And that's not you discounting the fact that you understand that you're living in unconditional love. It's really an interesting leading edge stance. And it's almost hard, and I think I find myself struggling to put it into words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's so much about energy and finding the words and the pictures to describe what we're talking about. Oh, I just got a visual. So it is very much about the surfing, you know, like you're on these waves and you're sort of surfing, you know, this waves, and you're kind of balancing all that's going on, enjoying the journey, enjoying the fact that there are moments of great contentment and peace, and then there are moments of great discontent, of divine discontent. This isn't the place that I want to be in, or this isn't the relationship that I had envisioned. And that too is God speaking, not just you being a nitpicker.
And not have to judge yourself.
Yeah, it's not judging that and really understanding that, again, it's all part of the creative process, you know. But I love, love, love going back to what is the path of least resistance in any circumstance. Don't you love how they can always lead us back to the cool, calm waters of saying, find the path of least resistance to where you're at. And that really is more of the important question is to where, you know, where you want to go.
And I think from their perspective, what's easy about it and what I love about that 30,000 foot view is eternal or eternity. You know, that however old you are or however long you've been in a conundrum or whatever the situation is, it's a blip. It's a blink of an eye. It's nothing, you know, in eternity. So it's sometimes we have to rise above it, you know, rise physically above it and look down from the 35,000 foot view and see the tiny ant. I always get in the airplane and just go, oh, I'll just go onto the airplane and I won't even see this from up there, you know?
Yes, it is that different perspective. And the other one final point that I wanted to make, and again, that what they just like, there was a lot in that particular track. And if you'd like to hear more that particular workshop, again, it was Asheville, North Carolina, 2015. I believe it was April 2015. And we do encourage you, we pay a little morsel of Abraham so we can go, you know, deep on it. But we encourage you to go to their website at abraham-hicks.com and purchase some of these workshops and hopefully go to one because they're such extraordinary events. But that last part, and we'll kind of wrap it up with this, is, you know, they did say that part of the journey is turning on the superpowers of appreciation of what is in your now and be able to widen the perceiving of what you have. And I thought that was a delicious morsel on the journey to what you're wanting, is that there's even more that you can receive in this moment from what you already have. And that was kind of a fun, delicious reminder of that. You know, the superpowers of appreciation to what you have. So we hope that you take your superpowers this week and appreciate where you are even more and have even more of a broader view of how perfect where you are is. And at the same time, hold within that next movement, that next part of the dance, that which you're wanting as an additional part of your sacred journey. These are your Feel Good Sisters. We love you all, and we really do know the truth of who you are. So thank you, Heather, for holding this hour in this wonderful stance of conversation and fun, and for bringing your whole self to this conversation. Tons of love. Feel good, sister.
Feel good, sister.
See you next time.
Thank you for joining us on Everyday Attraction with Feel Good Sisters Ray and Heather. Join them every Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, noon Central on Unity Online Radio for more ways to align with your source and start living the life you intended. Everyday Attraction is sponsored by Send Out Cards. Check out www.sendoutcards.com/attraction. Bring more appreciation into the world. Send a card of appreciation and gratitude today. sendoutcards.com/attraction.
What is the key to happiness? Would you like to find the fountain of youth? How about all the money and love that you could handle? Well, my friends, it is there for you. You just need to strip off the false beliefs that keep your divine inheritance from being attracted into your life. You need to be real. Be vulnerable. Be naked. What are you waiting for? Let's get naked. This transformational program with Reverend Heidi Allfree is an invitation to explore and remove the blocks that keep you from emotional freedom. Listen to Heidi and her revealing guests as they embrace the power of spiritual nakedness as a guaranteed way to live an authentic and transparent life. Expose yourself to your greatness on Mondays at 3 p.m. Central Time. Let's get naked. No dress code required. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
You gotta get rid of your butt. It's bigger than it would appear. It hinders your forward movement when you keep bringing up the rear.
Have you ever considered that everything you think, say, and do is a prayer to the universe? What would your life be like if you activated the power of yes? Join Reverend Beverly Molander and her exciting guests on Affirmative Prayer, Activating the Power of Yes, to find out how they activated the power of yes in their lives, their communities, or even the world. If they can do it, you can too. Listen to Beverly Molander and her guests live every Monday at noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Affirmative Prayer, Activating the Power of Yes. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. Have you ever considered that everything you think, say, and do is a prayer to the universe? What would your life be like if you activated the power of yes? Join Reverend Beverly Molander and her exciting guests on Affirmative Prayer, Activating the Power of Yes, to find out how they activated the power of yes in their lives, their communities, or even the world. If they can do it, you can too. Listen to Beverly Molander and her guests live every Monday at noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Affirmative Prayer, Activating the Power of Yes. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
As we examine what it means to be sacred activists in service of compassion and justice, we may find ourselves asking, how do we become a sacred activist? Institute for Sacred Activism founder Andrew Harvey says, follow your heartbreak. His advice echoes Gandhi, who once said, whenever you are in doubt, apply the following test. Recall the face of the poorest and the weakest person whom you may have seen, and ask yourself if the step you contemplate is going to be of any use to them. Will they gain anything by it? Will it restore them to a control over their own life and destiny? So, whenever in doubt about the direction of your life, just ask yourself, what breaks my heart? Whose suffering is simply too much to bear? And then commit your life to alleviate it. Don't turn your face away from the pain and injustice that is so prevalent in our world. Courageously bear witness to it, and in prayer, dedicate your life to healing it. Gain more spiritual insight. Listen to Radical Spirituality and Sacred Activism with Adam Bucko, Mondays at 4 p.m. Central Time, here on Unity Online Radio.